Have you heard? Proactiv is America's number one acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So, stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? With Proactiv, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactiv works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactiv 100% risk-free for 60 days. And we're giving away our amazing dark spot corrector, free and yours to keep, just for participating. With dark spot corrector, it's like your breakouts were never even there. Be one of the 50 people to complete the 100% risk-free trial and get a free dark spot corrector. Supplies are limited and this offer ends soon, so call now. 1-800-214-9537. That's 1-800-214-9537. 1-800-214-9537.
In August,
this paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Hey, everybody, get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Of Foodie Born and Bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20, because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. I hate the music under that intro.
I know. Well, especially since the last couple of weeks we've had live music in studio.
I know. That must have been done by some old dude who was just trying to get it over with.
I know, but I think we should get a band in every week.
All right. Well, I want to welcome everybody. And I hope you guys had a good 4th. We've all learned one new word since the last time we were on the air. Duratio.
Duratio.
Anyways, so we're going to have
You didn't really learn the word.
Shut up. We're going to have a drinking contest throughout the show. Every time I say duratio, everyone in the audience has to down 2 Advils. Is that you like that?
No, that's stupid.
Oh, it is stupid. Okay. So we've got a studio full of folks today. Eat Local First Week is back.
We have a studio full of women today. A little girl power is going on in studio. Get out.
We're surrounded. I feel like Woody Allen when they say the word castration. Okay. All right. So Eat Local First Week is back. It starts July 14th, and Stacey Price is in with us to give us the lowdown on all the activities.
Because there's so many activities this year.
Well, there are tons, but they've got a really cool model for incubating new restaurant concepts in the D.C. area. So she's brought in Kara Carpenter, who's the chef owner of Dom Ku, and Bettina Stern and Suzanne Simon, who are among contest finalists to launch the first new restaurant concept at Dom Ku to incubate it there as a pop-up.
Right. They're going to tell us all about it, why they're doing it, and how it's going to roll out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, so July 14th, everybody knows what that is. It is Bastille Day, and we are going to be celebrating a little bit in studio. We're going to be talking with Christophe Pateau, chef owner of Bastille in Alexandria, a little gem of a restaurant, and he's going to give us the 411 on all the celebrations there.
And wait.
Oh, God.
Oh, Popeye. Thank you, in case they didn't get it the first time.
Okay, Carrie. That's so stupid. Oh, my God. Carrie Kelly, owner of I Love Olive Oils.
She's got a speech impediment.
I Love Olive Oils and Vinegars is going to be giving us a real tasting today. We're going to taste different olive oils from all over. She actually brought one in from Georgia, which I cannot wait to try. She's going to be making up a cocktail. We're going to have a lot of fun.
But first.
Yes.
Fresh Farm Markets is about to celebrate, it's about to celebrate 15 years of life.
Today is actually the real day.
Today's the real day. Ann Yonkers and Bernie Prince, who are the co-executive directors of Fresh Farm Markets, are in to talk about it. And they brought in a bounty, a bountiful harvest of stuff for us to...
It smells so good.
Blueberries and peaches. But before we talk about, all the activities and all that, let's talk about farmers markets, because... you know, the farmer's market used to be this thing where you'd drive, you know, 4 hours out in the country and some dude was sitting with his pickup truck and you'd
buy some produce. It's called a farm stand.
And now it's big business, and now restaurant chefs are shopping there, and the seasonal offering is changing restaurant menus, and it's a whole thing. So take us from the start. What were you guys trying to do at the beginning, and how has that morphed?
Well, we really had the, we were looking for a really good model, and fortunately, we had an opportunity to sort of look what was happening in the country and talk with some local farmers, the Planks and Moy and Jim Crawford. And what we said to them, what do you think is the most important thing? And the two things they said were, number one, it has to be producer only. And producer only is the word we've been wrestling to make Washingtonians
well,
in the world.
Explain what that means.
It basically means that when you come to our market, the people that you're buying from the farmers, they have grown what or taken care of the animals, or if they are a producer or a baker, they've made it themselves. So it's our guarantee of authenticity and actually of quality, because it means that it's local, it's regional, and the farmers are there representing themselves and they're proud of what they do. So it is the most important.
See, that's why I've been insisting we start making Bernese Mountain Dog cheese.
Yeah. It's also, we verify the farmers. So we actually have them apply to market and go out and visit their farms. And so we know how they're growing this stuff out there.
Well,
we
I was going to ask about the process. Yeah. I mean, how do you go about doing that?
Before anybody comes into market, we go visit. That makes it sound just like an inspection. What's great for us is that we go back over time, and then we learn about the farmers. We learn what's happening in the neighborhood, how they're doing, how they're reinvesting. Mm-hmm. You know, we see the stuff coming up. We see new greenhouses being built and new tractors and sometimes a new roof on the house and the barn. And so you can see that the farm economy is actually growing.
Mm-hmm. And you're getting people, I mean, we know people who were, you know, just suburbanites or urbanites who decided to become
like Firefly Farms.
Yeah, cheese farmers.
Absolutely.
Or goat farmers. And we met a couple out in Frederick who supply a lot of the foods to Volt, to Brian Voltaggio. And his dad had a farm, but he was a salesman, and she was, you know, she was living in Baltimore City, and then suddenly...
And now they're farmers.
And now they're serious farmers.
Well, what we've seen in our 15 years is a huge change. I mean, people are always citing what the average age of farmers, and we've heard everything from, you know, 60 to 75. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's an aging population, and now what's happening in these urban markets, the farmers markets, is that young people are farming. I mean, it used to be sort of farmers much more... in the middle age to the gray stage, but now there's a lot of babies.
Oh, you had to say that, didn't you?
You got those 20-something, 30-something-year-olds who want to be farmers.
Right.
They're actually choosing
well,
it as an occupation.
They actually are farmers.
They are farmers.
Yeah,
they,
so we have a lot of romance going on, you know, and we have a huge number of interns that are turning. I have a nephew that is a graduate of college, and he's making goat cheese in Champaign-Urbana.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
How does the romance part enter into it?
Oh, the romance is both at the market, which is great, people watching.
Wait, are we going to get some gossip here? Is there something is this going to get seedy?
We've had some engagements at the market.
You mean there actually is some rolling in the hay?
I would imagine.
We see a lot of new market babies coming.
Mickey, we got to go to the farmer's market.
Well, let's talk about it. So you started the first farmer's market at DuPont, right?
Exactly.
And, I mean, did it ever occur to you that you would expand to have so many markets?
No. We had a very strong vision.
Right.
And we had a very strong model. Mm-hmm. But Bernie and I really didn't know what was going to happen. But for once in our lives, we actually were where we needed to be.
Yeah. Okay.
Right place at the right time, just when farmers markets were taking off. And nationally, they've gone from, you know, 2,500 to over 9,000. So that something's happening. But, you know, the great benefit of these markets is that money is going back in the farmers' pockets. Mm-hmm. You and I are getting much
access,
but we're also getting delicious food. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, great cooks are opening restaurants and using that local food. And then, you know, we have secondary products like charcuterie, and we have all kinds of jams, jellies, sauces. And people are excited. So it's that's the whole point. If you restrict your markets to farmers and that are actually growing the things and insist that that is happens, then you can actually grow an economy, which
well, and
we
consumers,
have done.
Consumers get it now, too.
I mean, they get
becoming...
it.
They get it. It's just, they sort of get it. But, you
what
know,
do you
people,
mean?
Well, people still don't understand that pure term very well and how important it is to put the money
you
back
mean
in.
Versus other styled farmers markets?
Just in terms of buying from a real farmer.
Okay. I mean, listen, we have a little farmer's market in Kensington, and I think there's really only one farmer there. I mean, the rest of it is just people making pizza. I don't know what they're all doing. I mean, it's a nice community thing. Everybody comes. People are very supportive of it. But, I mean, we don't really buy much there because there's not – there's it's not
– It's not the same.
It's not the same. It's very, very different.
They need Bernie and Ann out there.
Well, you know, when we started in 97, people weren't saying, where's the local food? They were saying, why would I come and shop if I can get it cheaper in the grocery store? And we said, come and see the varieties that you're going to see at the market. These foods are grown for flavor, not for transport. And that's why you've got these white peaches and white nectarines on the table here, these blackberries that were picked yesterday.
Let's
and
do a demo.
So
they smell
so we're
going to
do
so
a radio
good.
Demo. Radio is theater of the mind. Are you ready?
But aren't you, I mean, just if you think back 15 years ago, isn't it shocking that you have, how many markets do you guys have now?
We have 11.
Okay, so you have 11 markets. So not only do you have 11 functioning markets, but that you also have enough suppliers.
Absolutely.
You know, so many vendors who want to be there.
I got to jump in because I don't want to run out of time.
Oh,
you've got
sorry.
All sorts of stuff planned for the 15th anniversary. Why don't you give us kind of the rundown?
Please.
We're going to start this coming Tuesday at our Crystal City Market. So every single Fresh Farm Market will have some activities related to the anniversary. And the big bash will be next Sunday at the DuPont Market. After we finish 4 to 7, we're going to have a big celebration. We've got these local hero badges. We brought some here today for you. But we're going to be giving this to our partners out there, to some customers. You know, we have charter customers. Customers, charter volunteers who have been coming to market since we started 15 years ago. So they're all going to be wearing these
Bernie
proud
was ready
badges.
To go with this info.
Oh, man. She's always
But, you know, this is what we've got, and we're going to have this great food out there. We have restaurants all across the area, 22 restaurants that are offering special restaurant fare or special drinks for Fresh Farm Market in honor of our anniversary. Mm-hmm. We've got chefs that are going to be there, and we've got all this fabulous food that's going to be at market. And I couldn't bring the Pleasance Pops to market.
Why not?
Because it would have been a puddle in my car.
What's the matter for you?
But listen to the flavors. Summer peach, blueberry pancake, peaches and ginger, blackberry cream. So you've got the ingredients here so you can savor a little bit of what we're going to be having at market next Sunday.
I like
Sunday.
This local
So wait,
thing.
So the market's going to be staying open later?
We're actually closing at the normal time and then we're doing a switcheroo.
Okay.
And so we're going to have a show. We're going to have music. We're going to have all this great food that, you know, prepared food and lots of kids' activities. It's going to be fun.
Barbecue, lots of peaches, sunflowers. Yeah. We're going to be really celebrating.
Four
and the mayor has declared Fresh Farm Market Day next Sunday. So it's totally what people have to be doing.
Now, what restaurants are participating in the week-long celebration?
Well, we have Dino is doing a market tour and then a lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have drink specials at Estadio all month long, and Urbana Restaurant and Wine Bar is doing a pizza sourced from the market in DuPont Circle. And then we have a lineup of chefs at every single one of the markets. So Scott Druno is at Crystal City.
Okay.
Chef Drew Terp. Orlando Armaro from at Penn Quarter, Pero Metamoris. He is he's a real locavore. James Gee from Haleo, we have David McCallum in St. Michael's, which was our second market.
Isn't
that
it a shame
opened.
That the chefs aren't named Smith and Jones anymore?
I know.
Be a
makes
linguist.
Yeah.
A linguist just to say their names for.
Yeah. Well, and also a reminder that those of you who have been at some of our markets and seen the giant paella, Jose Andreas giant paella, that's going to be at DuPont next Sunday.
Oh,
that's
going to
that
so
giant 8-foot paella pan's going to be there, and we're going to be serving
well,
hot
let's,
fresh.
Let's trans. Jeez, Louise, what happened then? Are we on still? Boy, that just blew my speaker out here.
That's you mean you heard
that's
it?
That's paella for all you folks.
What's the matter?
Oh, that's what happened.
Bernie turned it up.
I just love reaching over there.
All right. Well, we have to take a quick break. So
we
just
do?
Give people.
Okay.
Yeah, we do. Let's give people the final shout out. I mean, the market is open now. It's open till
1 p.m. today.
1 p.m. Okay.
Be out there.
So all week long, starting on Tuesday
through Sunday, come out. Thank the farmers. Buy something delicious and celebrate.
Hit the web address again, too, so they know where to go to look.
It's freshfarmmarket.org.
Okay. It's .org, not .com, you people.
.org.
All right. Nonprofit organization serving all this great stuff.
Great. Thank you guys so
thanks,
much.
Guys.
All right. This
Thank
is David
you.
And Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
This is Dave Noble with IAAIS. We help people who live with vision loss. That's why we collaborated with Best Buy and the Insignia brand to create the Narrator, a new HD radio receiver with specific functions for visually impaired people. In addition to bookmarking and accessing extra channels, the Narrator tells you what buttons you've pressed.
Tune up.
We believe everyone will love the Narrator and encourage you to visit hdradio.com and bestbuy.com to learn more.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
The patio is now open at Founding Farmers in Potomac. Dining al fresco in Montgomery County was never better. It's an idyllic setting, away from traffic, comfortable seating in a luscious garden setting. Dine al fresco on cool evenings around the fire pit. Founding Farmers in Montgomery County, just off Route 270 at Montrose Road West. A delicious getaway for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and weekend brunch. Founding Farmers, award-winning menus of great scratch-made foods with ingredients from American family farmers and from across the region. See the menu at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much of
John
much
Denver. That'll teach you to fly ultralights. We're back on Foodie and the Beast, and we're having a good time. We just had Fresh Farm Markets in, and now we're going to be talking different kind of food because Stacy Price and other guests are in to talk about Eat Local First Week. Stacy.
Yes.
You're the executive director of Think Local First. Why don't you tell us what the whole purpose of the organization is first, and then we'll talk about all this stuff going on.
So Think Local First is a nonprofit organization based in D.C. that believes supporting and fostering the independent business sector of this of D.C. is the way to build a viable economy. So okay. What does that mean?
Yeah.
It means that our
Is that
local...
English? No, I got
That's, you know, that's our mission statement. We do so with education and promotion and advocacy. But basically what that means is we encourage people to support local business. And for our Eat Local Week, which is Eat Local First is one of our campaigns. It's really about local food and local farmers and, mm-hmm. and the local businesses that source from them.
So you've got a week of activities that start July 14th. I mean... Compared to, you know, last year was the first year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this year is crazy.
I mean,
with
it
events.
Exploded. There's so many events this year.
No,
this.
we're so thankful. We don't do this alone. We have amazing partners at the table, but we do. We have 11 events in 7 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, do we want to talk about some of the events?
Yeah, let's. And then we'll talk about the incubator and all that. I don't want to let that go.
So we kick off the week next Saturday with a bluegrass barbecue and beer at Acre 121. It's just a good old-fashioned party with local music. And we end the week with a farm-to-street party on Saturday, July 21st, 13th to 14th block of V Street with amazing food vendors that are sourcing local and education. And activities, and this year we have a new pop-up park with local artisan.
But you've also got a free screening of the movie Fresh, which
absolutely.
I think is really
So I gave you the two bookends, and then we have a lot of meat in between, and a lot of non-meat.
Excuse me. I'm the comedian.
Yeah, sorry.
Can you relax?
So we have one of our... most exciting events this year is our Femivore event.
I think about it.
Yeah, I think about that today because I'm sitting here with all these women that are doing cool things in the food movement. But mm-hmm. that's one of our celebrations that we're doing in coordination with Riz.
Right?
Yeah. So we are celebrating women that are doing interesting and creative and impactful things in the food industry. And tomorrow we'll actually announce three finalists in the Grow, Inspire, and Nurture categories. Mm-hmm. And those finalists will do little mini TED Talks here in our Femivore event.
Oh, neat.
And we'll give them one lady $1,000 to proceed with her project. So we're really excited about that.
That's very exciting. Yeah. That's going
to
be great.
Is it too late for me to dress up? I could use $1,000.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you've got a lot going on. And the thing I don't, because not only do we have everybody in studio, but one of the coolest things that you're doing is you're helping to incubate new restaurant concept ideas by doing more than just sort of, you know, mentoring. You're doing really a soup to nuts process. Why don't you talk about it, and then you can introduce Susanna Bettina.
Kara's essential to this process. She's the main ingredient in this process. And I'll let her go into that. But the one thing that we're launching during our Eat Local Week is Startup Kitchen. And so it's an 8-week incubation program that we're offering to one restaurateur. They'll be able to come in and have mentorship with a restaurant owner, Kara, who's sitting to my left. Mm-hmm. And they will have use of her kitchen. But most importantly, they will for 6 weeks run a restaurant that will not only allow them to play kitchen, but it allows them to have feedback from different demographics on what they're doing.
The concept of a pop-up for a restaurant is so amazing. It allows them to really get the idea what they're going to need, financial things that would never come in mind. You know,
yeah.
if you haven't really done it.
Let's turn to Kara, because what you're going to have your Domku is going to be open, but then on what is it, one day a week?
On Mondays. That's
all right. Tell us how it'll all work.
Well, once the finalist has been chosen, they will go through a two week business consulting period with another organization, and then they will come into Domku on Mondays. And for 2 weeks, they'll just be getting ready. And then for the 6 weeks after that, every Monday, they'll be operating their concept in the dining room.
Well, Kara, we talked about this a little bit off air, but tell us a little bit about the concept and how you got started with it.
Well, I've been working on this idea for a restaurant incubator for about the past year or so. Mm-hmm. And I hooked up with Stacy and Think Local First back in April. And after some discussions, we realized that it was going to be a long process to actually get the funding, get the infrastructure in place. And so we decided, why not start at Domku? Mm-hmm. The space is there. We can do a condensed version of the program that we had in mind, do the business consulting, the mentoring, the commercial kitchen, and the actual pop-up restaurant all in an 8-week period.
Yeah, we had just come off of how to launch and operate a successful restaurant in DC conference. And Kara called me literally the week later, and I had just had this meeting with, I have a lot of restaurateurs on my board, and they were so jazzed up because they got to mentor people mm-hmm. during that conference. So this was perfect because we actually don't see this stopping at Domku.
Sure.
In fact, during our launch party, the Friday of Eat Local Week, we'll announce the next startup kitchen space.
Well, I think really, you know, kind of knocked me down yesterday was one thing to bring people in and let them play, you know, kitchen, but it's the business side, you know, it's portion control and it's staffing and it's dealing with staffing issues
and ordering.
All of that, it's the, you know, the back of the house stuff that can probably does sink most startup restaurants because they think it's about the, you know, they may be great chefs and great cooks and.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that. Kara, are you going to be sitting down with them and explaining the business side, sort of the practical business side of running a restaurant?
Because Domku is how old?
Domku is almost 8 years old.
8 years old. And for people who haven't had the pleasure of being at your restaurant, can you tell us just quickly a little bit about it?
It's a Scandinavian and Slavic comfort food restaurant in Petworth.
Okay. Right.
And from my experience opening Domku, I know that it's a really long and lonely and difficult experience to go through.
Like marriage.
Yes. Right. And
lonely would be.
There are.
Wouldn't it be great?
That's the word I would use to describe our marriage.
People talk about how difficult the restaurant industry is, yet there's absolutely no support for people going into the business. Mm-hmm. And so the startup kitchen is my answer to that. I may not be the best person in the business to go to for information, but there are a lot of people in the industry who are really eager to share their knowledge That's and great. Mentor others.
Now, if
That's
you've been in business idea. For 8 years, you might be
I
the best person.
I think it says something.
Yeah. Okay, so now how do we wind up with Bettina and Suzanne here?
Well, so we did a call for business plans.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was maybe a month ago. We did a call for business plans, mm-hmm. and we got a ton of people applied to it. They had mm-hmm. to be a DC resident, and they had to have a business plan at a certain level to mm-hmm. be a participant. It went through a first round of review.
Which was by me.
Yeah. And so
we had to make sure that it actually worked in the kitchen that I have.
Sure. Okay. So, hi.
Hi.
Bettina and Suzanne.
Well, why don't we find out a little bit about you guys and how this all got started.
Yeah, how did you guys get involved with us?
Okay, this is Suzanne. Thank you. Bettina and I have a food blog. It's lulies.com. Mm-hmm. We started that about 7 years ago as really a passion project. And
I'm a big fan.
Oh, good. Thank mm-hmm. you. And so when we started, we thought, let's just start passing on what works in our home kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
And we started doing lots of shopping at farmers markets, and so much inspiration came from just seeing what was in season. And that's basically how we focus our writing on, you know, what's in season, what works, ideas, recipes, just a little bit of education thrown in there with mm-hmm. sourcing. And so with that, you know, we've been writing, and we came up with a restaurant concept actually several months ago. And the idea was like a farmhouse rustic cooking, mostly plants, less meat.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, just a personal story, and I think it's actually kind of rubbed off on Bettina a little bit. But over the 7 years of me writing for Lulies, I learned a lot about how food is manufactured or grown in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And so here I was. You know, I have all this knowledge. I go into the grocery store on a Wednesday when maybe there wasn't a farmer's market right around the corner, and the one thing I just couldn't buy was meat. I was like, I just can't buy it here. So I actually get my chickens, you know, every other week from a farmer out in Maryland. They're delivered with eggs, and I only eat chicken when I have that chicken. I get my I go to eco-friendly farms at DuPont mm-hmm. Circle, at the Fresh Farm Market. I buy my meat there. And if I go to the grocery store, I pick up vegetables if I need something. And so I started doing a lot of vegetable-based cooking in my home and feeding my family, you know, just different meals that did not have meat, and not really saying anything about it, not saying I'm serving you a vegetarian meal. It's right. Meatless Monday. You're not going to get meat. Just doing it.
So
it's funny that you say that, because I mean, I shop very similarly to you, but we do Meatless Monday in our house. But it's a hard thing for me with my children, because Meatless Monday becomes Carb Lovers Monday. It's like bagels and pasta,
right.
You know, and that's not what you want to do either.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? What?
Well, I was going to ask Bettina, did you have to come over from the dark side, or was this something that... Suzanne, I am your father.
No, I wouldn't say that I came over from the dark side, because I, too, choose to eat sort of more vegetable grains
mm-hmm.
and fish on a regular basis. But I live in a house with four men. And so convincing a house of men, which are three sons and my husband...
Right.
To go.
I'm glad you clarified that. I think you're my kind of woman.
It was a little harder to convince a house full of boys of doing a lot less meat, because mm-hmm. they really do feel that protein satisfies them. So as Suzanne and I conceptualized our restaurant idea called Chaya, mm-hmm. which is really kind of focused, taking a riff on Mexican and Central American flavors, foods that are really fresh, really affordable, mm-hmm. really easy to make into wonderful flavors using spices and peppers and stuff like that, we decided that this would be the focus we would take, and that the flavors would come from those spices and herbs, and also from the creamy richness of beautiful cheeses mm-hmm. and other products that, you know, that had right, that.
Well, wait,
but
wait,
how
wait.
Will you source?
Well, we will source. We will try to, with our restaurant idea, use as much that is seasonal and fairly local.
Sure.
I just think an example. We brought the menu that we had submitted for the Startup Kitchen Incubator, and creamy kale and poblano and roasted potatoes with a chipotle yogurt sauce.
Yum.
Almost all of those ingredients can be found
at the market
at Fresh Farm.
Yep.
Wild mushrooms with pasilla peppers. Well.
Again.
I'm sure we can find some other type of pepper that we may be able to use.
Mm-hmm. Grilled zucchini. That a focus of yours? I mean, do you want to stay as local
as
possible?
We want to stay as local as possible.
And I assume that's important, Stacy, to the concept, right, of the pop-up? I mean, given that it's under your umbrella? Yes?
Yes. I mean, I think that there is preference for that, but that's not necessarily, that doesn't rule someone out.
Okay.
We encourage all of our businesses to be as local as possible,
sure.
but actually us incubating local entrepreneurs is the first year
important.
Thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to take a quick break.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
So
when we
let's
come back.
Give the website.
Wait, we're not done.
We'll just
talk a little bit when we come back.
Okay.
All right. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast.
I never get to say what I
know.
I'm
taking
say
over. Here. Okay. We'll be back in just a sec.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Like farmers markets? None's better than the fabulous Central Farm Markets in downtown Bethesda, at Bethesda Elementary, and in Rockville's Mid Pike Plaza. Each has 40-plus vendors with huge selections of local natural meats, poultry, organic produce, cheeses, plus yummy pastries, pies, cakes, fresh breads, even seafood and more. Want prepared foods to go? They got that too. Bring the family, bring the dog to Central Farm Markets Sunday in Bethesda and Saturdays and Thursdays in Rockville. Visit centralfarmmarkets.com for details.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. How can I help you?
Yeah, I already have the little Insignia HD Radio Portable that I use at the gym, but I thought I saw a new one on HDRadio.com that I could use on my desk. Is that right?
You bet. It's only $49, and just like the Portable, it has HD Radio technology, so you can get the new HD2, HD3 channels.
Great. So for under $50, I can get Insignia's new table radio with both digital sound and the extra channels?
Yep. Plus, it works with batteries.
Sweet. So I can take it to the pool and the beach this summer. Sold.
HD Radio. More radio, more value.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on 1500 AM at 10 AM. Please join me this week for my special guest, Lars Okeson of Bernstein & Company, who will tell us about his unique experience as a CFO and how it helps him render financial advisory services to you, the consumer. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service firm located in Fairfax. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
So you're hearing the Beatles, Love, 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 because we moved our time around a little, but Christophe Patou is going to be up here, and the French are such great lovers that we played that for you, Christophe. But we're still talking a little bit more about Eat Local First Week. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I never get the order
right.
What am
I eating? It's delicious.
It's a spicy fresh corn and jalapeno fritter with a chipotle yogurt sauce.
It's delicious. And this is one
Thank
of the things
you.
You're helping to
yeah,
serve.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be a vegetarian to like this kind of food. And we're hoping that with our focus mostly on plants, less on meat, even though we plan Chaya to have meat ingredients, just a lot less of them, that perhaps we can convince people that this kind of food is really good.
Great.
And meat is precious. And it's not that we think it's good. We think meat is good food, and we like to eat meat. But I think that we live in a culture that thinks that every meal has to be created around meat. And I think there's so many people out there who want a place like Chaya to go to where they feel like they can get something good. Their bellies are full, and it's vegetable-based, or, meat as a topping, or it's a side component, or not everything is based on what is in this particular dish that is a protein.
All right.
Like Stacey, when do they get announced?
Yeah, when does it wrap up?
So we have three finalists now that that Susanna and Bettina are a part of. And we will have a chopping block competition, which they say is a very scary name.
Right.
We'll have a competition that's open to the public, actually, from 7 to 9 on that Wednesday during Eat Local Week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a great panel of judges that will listen. Each finalist will get around 10 minutes to present their concepts. And so we have Harriet Trevilney from the Office of Planning, mm-hmm. and we have Warren Brown from Cake Love, and Andy Schlaw from Busboys and Poets,
sure.
and a whole host of people representing development and finances that will actually go through the process. We will announce the winner that Friday night. We're going to have a startup kitchen launch party on July 20th at Domku. Kara's hosting us, and we'll announce the winner there.
Okay. Right. Well, we wish you both the best of luck. We
thank
hope you get it.
Thank you.
All right,
very
let's
much.
Do the website too once okay. more, so people can find all the events.
So you can not only find the events, but you can buy tickets to all the events online at eatlocalfirstdc.com.
Great. Okay.
All right, guys.
So
thanks.
Thank you all for coming in today.
All right. Where is our friend Christophe Poteau?
Christophe,
anywhere
have
you
a
want
seat.
To sit, man. And his beautiful daughter Isabella is here. Mm-hmm. Isabella, you want to yell hi to everybody? There you go. All right, so Bastille Day. I've always looked at it as the French, you know, had to copy everything we were doing over here, so you had your own revolution.
Yeah, it only happened years
yeah.
before, just
yeah,
a couple years before.
I know, but it's, you know.
Yeah, you know, the French know what they are. Yeah, Bastille Day is came along pretty well after Independence Day, I think.
Yeah. Of course. All right, so let's talk
about your restaurant first.
Bastille Restaurant, we are located in Old Town Alexandria, north of Old Town on Royal Street.
Mm-hmm.
We've been open for 6 years now, and
it's a sweet little location.
Plan on
you come there, it's,
stay open.
It's like you've landed in France. It's nice and quiet and
beautiful patio.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, we try to do that on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a nice big patio on the outside, which is kind of a luxury in Old Town Alexandria. There's
yes,
not
it
too
is.
Many patio like this. So,
mm-hmm.
And so, yes, we're
today
pretty
would
happy.
Be a nice day for the patio.
You know,
we'll find.
We'll be surprised, actually. There's some people are going to sit out
really?
Today.
You know,
maybe not for brunch, but for dinner, it's very
dinner,
possible.
I can see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Brunch, you'd have dead
yeah.
guests.
But even last night, we had a couple of tables outside. I'm like, wow.
Diehards.
Good for you. Good
yeah.
for you.
Like dried up worms. All right,
anyway.
So let's talk about Bastille Day at Bastille, because every year it's a hootenanny.
Yeah, well, we try to stick to the tradition, which is very a popular, let's say, town square kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
So we have put up together a popular, like, affordable price three-course meal, $29. All day long, kind of the idea. So the town square, we open all day at this time. We're not closing between lunch and dinner, so mm-hmm. people can come in and out whenever they want from noon to 10, and maybe later, I don't know, if there's any food left.
Right.
Sounds like fun.
And, you know, the wine will be flowing and the food will be cooked. Maybe. Well, there's also raw food.
Too. Maybe the chef will be cooked.
Right.
Who knows?
That's possible.
So do you already know what you're going to be serving? Have you already been thinking about
yes,
it?
Yes, we have a selection of five appetizers, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of a little mixed up this morning. Six entrees. Some of the traditional, you know, on the entree, you got to do your chicken dish, which is going to be a kind of peasant style, cooked down with a lovely food from the summer, you know, peppers and tomatoes and things like that. I call it chicken catalan because it's inspired on the Catalan style chicken with eggplants and peppers and all kind of goodies. We have some lamb because lamb chops, quick grilled. That's kind of a tradition also on the grill outdoor. People
do that
a lot in France.
Is
so.
There a food?
Sardines.
Is there a food? Associated particularly with Bastille Day?
No, you know, everybody asks me that. No, there's not really one specific thing, but it's the summer. Yes, cake, of course, cake. Yeah.
Does anyone else know history here, for God's
no,
sake?
No, it's really more about, usually, I mean, what do I know? I only live the first 30 years of my life in France, but Bastille Day, usually, it's all about outdoor and summer food. So you have the
and
roast
partying,
chicken,
right?
You know, the grilled steak, sausage.
Well, let me ask you a question. Blend. Michelle, your wife, Michelle Pateau, who
yes.
is the co-owner and pastry chef there.
Yes, she is.
I mean, is it, did she have a special pastry menu for Bastille Day?
Well, she got a couple of a dessert or traditionally French. There'll be a pêche-mêl bas, but it's going to be a little bit of a twist on the pêche-mêl bas, which is traditionally just a poached pear or roasted pear with ice cream. In that case, is going to be a little bit of a twist. The other item, I believe, is a creme caramel, but a little bit of a twist. And then we have two classic things you find in bistro in France. It's like we started to make our own ice cream. So we have two what we call coupe glacé, which basically is the French version of sundae. But we invented it first, right? Just make it straight.
I know. You invented air, too.
We invented everything. We just don't get credit for it. That's all. It's okay. It's okay.
Why did you guys start making your own ice cream?
Because... we like to be able to make the ice cream the way we want, add flavor and infuse flavor the way we like.
Mm-hmm.
Feel that commercial ice cream is, first of all, full of other things that I don't always like. Now, there's a lot of like small local ice cream maker or mm-hmm. gelato maker, which we tasted here and there. We like very much, but we felt like everything we do at the restaurant, we do pretty much I'll say 99% from scratch. Mm-hmm. We don't bake our bread because we don't have the space and the ability to do it. But otherwise, we would do it if we could.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to serve ice cream, we make it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if we serve fresh pasta, we make fresh. That's why there's not much fresh pasta on the menu. Because I don't do it often because it's just a space allotment in the kitchen. So
sure.
Once in a while for a special event, I will do that. But it's the same idea on everything we do. All the desserts I make from scratch. So, you know, the pâtés I make from scratch, the sausage, everything. So once we decided that we have figured out a way to pack this in our tiny kitchen, mm-hmm. which was not long ago, and then was like, well, let's make some ice cream now. So there we go.
Boy, there's some Italians in town that are going to be mad at you.
That's okay. We like Italian. We like angry cousins at each other. That's okay.
All right. Well,
I want to ask Isabella very quickly.
Okay.
Isabella Pateau is here. What's the favorite dessert that your mom makes that you love? Come on, spit it out, kid. Oh, just say it.
Cookies.
What do you love the best?
Brownie, cookies.
What? Huh?
She's shy.
Dong. Okay. All right. She got shy.
I did.
All right. Well, I put you.
Well, you
on
can think about it.
Okay. Think about it.
You have time to figure it out.
All right. So let's make sure that everybody has the web address and the street address. So
okay. BastilleRestaurant1word.com, and it's at 1201 North Royal Street in Alexandria, Virginia. The phone number is 703-519-3776.
And it is a great experience.
Thank you very
much. Beautiful there.
Thanks
all right, Christoph Pateau.
Thank
thanks. Bye, Isabella. All right, now we're going to turn the talk to olive oils and I love olive oils and vinegars. No, Carrie, you going to come in? Yeah,
yes.
Isabella, sorry, you got to give up your chair.
Got to give up your chair.
Bummer.
Here we go. Come sit down.
All right, so Carrie Kelly fell in love with olive oils on a trip to, where was it, Italy?
Well, I went, you know, when I got out of college, I just, what everybody did in the 70s, I packed up a backpack and went to Europe.
Wait a minute, was that you, honey?
That was me.
Oh, I remember.
I was wondering if you'd remember.
Yeah, I do. Vaguely.
He can't remember me, but I'm sure he remembers you. It's fine.
It's only been a few years. But, you know, I grew up in a Northern Virginia suburban neighborhood where our plates, and listening to all this fresh food talk, you know, our plates were 2/3 meat. And the other third was a vegetable, usually white.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what did I know about flavor? And I was astounded by the flavors that I tasted as I traveled around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Not even as much the recipes as it was just this burst of flavor. And that's really been a love of mine ever since. It's just getting in the kitchen and playing with food.
All right. Well, let's talk about olive oils mm-hmm. because, Nikki knows the answer to this, I'm sure. I don't. What is really, when you talk about extra virgin, what does that really mean? And is it like USDA Prime? Do they slap it all over when the reality is that there's only a very small percentage of olive oils that are extra virgin? Because that's what I've heard.
Yeah, and that's true. So first I'll tell you what extra virgin means and really why it's even important to us
mm-hmm.
And to consumers in particular. Extra virgin means a couple of things. One, fresh. An olive oil can't be extra virgin and not be fresh. It also has to do with certain components that percentage of free fatty acids. You know, this sounds like biology class, but these are things.
Try to start to zone out.
Yeah. When anybody makes olive oil that they're going to sell, it has to go through laboratory testing. And there are certain qualifications to be called extra virgin, and it's subjected to a taste test by experts. So it has to be fresh, it has to be without defects, and it has to have been made in a method that includes no chemicals whatsoever.
Interesting.
So it's about the purest product we can put in our bodies, I think.
And how much, I mean, how much BS is there about extra virgin slapped on labels?
Yeah, a lot. It is, in fact, the biggest food fraud in the world.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It really is.
The biggest food fraud in the world. And here are the reasons. Less than 10% of all olive oil produced, and of course it's harvested, not manufactured, you know, once a year they harvest, less than 10% qualifies to be extra virgin, and that's highly perishable. So the temptation for fraud is huge. And what happens is big producers will mix in inferior olive oil with vegetable oil, canola oil, other seed oil, so it's adulterated. The other thing that happens, and I actually brought you a delicious sample today, is a lot of what's sitting on our shelves might have started out as extra virgin. It's rancid.
I was going to ask that. Okay, we have to take a quick break. So when we get back, we're going to do some on-air tasting. I'm really looking forward to it. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does 3 decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time, but the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit capitalareafoodbank.org.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Rock that fanny pack, wearing those khakis last.
Kevin,
yeah?
What are you doing?
Just singing this sweet tune I heard on the radio this morning.
We need to get you HD Radio, man. Those are not the lyrics. If you were listening to that song in my Kia Optima with the Yuvo infotainment system and HD Radio, you'd hear all the lyrics with crystal clear digital sound quality. Plus the artist and song title even display on my Yuvo screen.
Then let's go for a ride and hope the fanny pack song comes on.
Voice-activated Yuvo infotainment system with HD Radio. Now available in the Kia Optima.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school. Beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma. Or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible.
March for Babies!
Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
This is the summer of love.
Oh, the summer of love, because it's I Love Olive Oil.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, you are so clever, honest to God. All right, we're back talking to Carrie Kelly, who is the owner of Olive Oils and Vinegars. Before we get to that, I just want to quickly thank the folks that make this show possible, our sponsors. And if you're not a sponsor, I don't want you to feel bad. Too bad. Georgetown Bagelry, our friends at the Neighborhood Restaurant Group. That's the Two Rusticos, Evening Star, Tallulah, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, and Church Key. The two founding farmers, including the hot new one out in Potomac that is rocking.
We did
a remote from there a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the Black Restaurant Group, that's Jeff and Barbara Black, Black Market, Black Salt, Blacks in Bethesda. Yes, we did a remote there. The new Pearl Dive downtown. Yes, we did a remote there.
Yes, we did.
My goodness. So, and also Bethesda Central Farm Market. Don't want the people at Fresh Farm Markets to feel bad, but yes.
Right.
But there's a Central Farm Markets as well. All right, so Carrie, let's get back to you. We're going to taste some olive oil.
All right, so what'd you bring us here?
Okay. So a lot of our customers, you know, without going into the biology class thing, a lot of our customers will say, how am I supposed to know if I'm buying a good olive oil or not? And really, the best way is taste. So the first thing I'm going to have you taste is an olive oil from Georgia, and that would be in the southwestern United States.
No, I thought you meant
southeastern
like
United States. Yeah, that's what people ask. So,
are there lots of olive trees in Georgia?
No. There aren't. Most olive trees really like a Mediterranean climate, hot mm-hmm. and dry. And right. so these guys, this is a family farm in Lakeland, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Everybody in California is watching them with great skepticism because they want to own, you know, right. California olive right. oils are the best. There's some questions to whether Mother Nature will cooperate enough for them to continue to have enough of a yield to okay. be commercial.
How many acres do they have?
Right now, I think, I don't remember the acreage, but they've got about 1,800 trees, just planted about 800 mm-hmm. more. They can produce great olive oil. Yield is going to be the question with them. So should we go through how to taste this?
Yeah, sure.
So when you're tasting an olive oil, you want to warm it a little bit to kind of release the flavors.
Okay.
And the first thing you do is get a sense of the aroma.
Mm-hmm. Just like
and,
a wine.
Yeah, and it should smell fresh and fruity,
mm-hmm.
Not, like nutty and stale. And so then what you do, you taste it just like you taste wine. Put okay. a little on your tongue, bring some air into your mouth.
Mm. You're slurping.
Do a little slurping.
You're going to have to go to your room with a little
dinner. Let it saturate your whole tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Swallow. And pay attention to everything you're sort of tasting and feeling.
Mm. Well, I mean, this is not a strong olive oil. It's
no.
light. It's very light.
This is an Arbequina olive that is the most popular olive to make olive oil with because it's mild, delicate,
mm-hmm.
easy to use in your kitchen for all kinds of things from cooking to dressing salads.
So is it Italian? Greek?
No, it's from Georgia.
No. I know that. I'm listening. I just want to point something out. Excuse me. You are my wife, not my mother. Good Lord. I understand that.
Okay.
But the trees have to. You think the trees came from Georgia, you numbskull? Where are the trees from?
Arbequina is a Spanish olive.
All right, Spanish. See?
Okay.
I'm going to take over this show.
Grown in Georgia.
Okay.
You're both right.
Okay.
So.
You're walking home. That's all I can tell you.
All right, and tell us about some of the other olive oils.
So the other one I brought from you is mm-hmm. from Spain.
Okay.
And this is really, I shouldn't have a bias with all of my olive oil children in mm-hmm. the store, but...
But this one smells so different.
I love this producer. This is a brother and sister from Andalusia in southern Spain, and they are winning awards all over the place.
It smells so good. It's so fruity.
Very fruity, very, very fresh. This is called a Piqual olive, which okay. produces a really robust olive oil. So when you taste this, taste it the same way. And what you're going to notice, I think, is when it goes down your throat, you'll feel a peppery,
yeah.
almost
Absolutely.
Burn in the back of your throat.
I just want to clarify something for Nikki. These olives are not from Georgia.
Can this I say what I'm thinking
stronger.
On air?
As long as it doesn't have one of
not
the seven
yet.
Words, yeah. Go ahead. Go crazy.
Well, so let me ask you a question. These olive oils, I mean, would you use them for cooking or are they really finishing oils? Or, would you waste it on cooking?
Well, I love that question more than any other question about olive oil. And here's how I'm going to answer it. The very short answer is yes, use it for cooking.
Okay.
Here's why. And my mission, and especially after hearing all of these people talk earlier today about mm-hmm. fresh local food, why would you get a beautiful plate of fresh greens and fresh vegetables and pour some
goop on it?
Goop on it from the grocery store. And I brought some if you want to have a taste comparison. Why would you do that? My mission is to get people to see olive oil as an important flavor component in your recipe, not just something to moisten your pan or thicken your salad dressing.
Okay.
And that's really been the attitude about olive oil. And
mm-hmm.
so, buy something as cheap as you can because all you're doing is, keeping your food from sticking and making your dressing thicker. And olive oil tastes so good. It should be as important as the herbs you pick, as the spices you choose to go into your recipe. So, yes, you should use it to cook.
Okay.
You should use it to finish.
Mm-hmm.
What I tell people, it's more expensive to buy a good extra virgin olive oil. It's more expensive. So there is a budget concern.
Mm-hmm.
Use as little in the pan as absolutely necessary to keep your food from sticking, if
right.
that's the utilitarian part of it. And then add your good fat calories as a finish after
mm-hmm.
the meal.
I think that makes sense.
Then you get
right.
the taste.
We only have a couple of minutes left, so
and
I want to talk about balsamic.
Vinegars.
Yeah,
okay.
Because I mean, you make cocktails with vinegar.
I make cocktails with vinegar. So here's the
She's a crazy lady.
She's a crazy lady. I was called a mad scientist in the store one day.
Okay.
Here's the skinny on balsamic vinegar. They were first made in the 10th century for medicinal reasons. Mm-hmm. What they are is grapes, two particular grapes, Lambrusco and Trebbiano, from the Emilia-Romagna region of Italy. Mm-hmm. They cook these grapes at